The very nature of science is peace and blessedness. But its joys and triumphs are not earthly. Earthly triumphs and joys are passing away from matter to spirit. By this, we do not mean death, nor a sudden ecstasy, but the gradual fading out of material things, of earthly desires, possessions, and pleasures, and the coming in of purity, truth, and immortality. The demands of personal sense will grow less, and the appetite becomes simple. Pride, malice, and all sin yield to meekness, mercy, and love, until finally the belief of life in matter yields to the consciousness that life is spirit, God. "Mortals grow into immortals as babes grow into adults," said Mrs. Eddy in the journal. All good thoughts and deeds are science that proceeds not from a doctrinal basis, but is soul subduing sin, personal belief, personal pleasure or pain, and revealing all harmony, righteousness, and blessedness in our God being." Unquote. This is the way God's great scientist ends her second chapter in the precious volume, showing how we gradually overcome the imposition of a material sense of everything and in consequence achieve demonstration. In our next session, we will start our examination of her third chapter in the first edition, Spirit and Matter. But before we begin chapter 3, could we look into what this second coming, which she said will be the last, has meant to humanity's progress spiritward? The first edition starts at the portals of heaven in the allness of good, the oneness of God and man. It actually starts with principle containing its idea, where mind, our true and divine mind, is the only great cause and effect. The high statements in the first edition were Mrs. Eddy's individual subjective vision. But, as Mrs. Orgain points out, mountaintops are always lonely positions, so the mountain revelations must be left to men, such as Jesus attained, saying, "I and the Father, principle, are one." And Moses with his, "I am that I am." It was therefore Mrs. Eddy's manhood, the manhood of woman, that brought the little book, the first edition. This is in accordance with and in fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy in Revelation, in which the mighty angel that brought the little book is characterized as masculine. A rainbow was upon his head. His face was as it were the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. He had in his hand, he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. When he had cried, etc., etc. Unquote. We know from the book of Revelation that Jesus, the masculine representative of the spiritual idea, who manifested the fatherhood of God, held seven stars in his right hand, indicating the seventh day or seventh stage of the ascending order in being. This, the seventh rung of the ladder, is the highest point, and it is where woman starts her descent. If that is where Mrs. Eddy began, namely on the seventh rung or seventh day in the ascending scale, then it would, of course, be perfectly natural for the first edition to be the highest, and its statements to be the most absolute, since they were made from the pinnacle of being. In Pulpit and Press, Mrs. Eddy, in her dedicatory sermon for the Little Mother Church, symbolizing our true body, speaks of it as reared on the foundation of love and pinnacled in life, life represented by the Father. So man's greatest height is woman's first step in the descending order. This is where the first edition begins. It looks out from the pinnacle of life. However, as Mrs. Orgain further points out, when we realize that woman is a descending idea, that the city four square as a bride descends, we see that the greater the height, the further it is from the goal of universal man. This again is why the first edition is destined to be considered the highest, and the last edition, in order to meet the universal need, is destined to be the broadest. Woman, science, being generic, must embrace the whole world. Woman must encompass the teachings of Jesus and the entire Bible, as Jeremiah prophesied, "A woman shall compass a man." Unquote. This, Jeremiah proclaimed, would be a new thing in the earth. It would begin where the Bible left off and fulfill the scriptural prophecies concerning the second coming. Woman, science, must reach and encompass all mankind. Jesus' seventh-day viewpoint, his mountaintop vision, was so high he was able to reach only a few, whereas Mrs. Eddy's writings in the Second Coming would fulfill Jesus' promise of the Comforter, divine science, which would reach and endow all humanity with divine understanding. Jesus said the Comforter would be the Spirit of truth and would guide into all truth. The Comforter, the Spirit of truth, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Many today still do not recognize that Mrs. Eddy has given us much that Jesus did not. He is our great exemplar, but as he himself said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." And, as we've already quoted, he added that when the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, is come, it will guide you into all truth. Mrs. Eddy's writings, her successor. Would this Spirit of truth, which of course is science and health with key to the scriptures, and Mrs. Eddy's other writings, be Mrs. Eddy's successor? Yes, science and health is the bride of spirit that supersedes Mary Baker Eddy as leader and becomes one with the Lamb, purified human consciousness. Purified human consciousness is the bridegroom that is wedded to the teachings of science and health and Mary Baker Eddy's other writings. Mrs. Eddy saw that God, the divine principle, love, is all, that this principle included its idea. This viewpoint is science itself. But she had to reduce this science to human comprehension, namely, Christian science. And she says it is necessary to understand the spiritual idea, because the spiritual idea has given the understanding a foothold in Christian science. Mrs. Eddy has more than 40 references in our current edition of Science and Health to the spiritual idea. It seems to involve the oneness of man and woman, meaning the oneness of science, womanhood, including Christianity, manhood, and is therefore synonymous with Christ. She says, material sense will bite the heel of the woman, will struggle to destroy the spiritual idea of love. And woman, science, this idea, will bruise the head of lust. Here again, we see why she had to hide her message, why she said that mankind is face to face with the last enemy, human birth, and knows it not. We discussed her teachings and those of Jesus at the beginning of this session under the topics of what the great red dragon signifies and corporeal sense of creation cast out. Our work in Christian science is to realize we have no selfhood apart from God and to rid ourselves of all that would hide our present oneness with the spiritual idea, the Holy Ghost and Christ, which, she says, enables you to demonstrate with scientific certainty the rule of healing, based upon its divine principle, love, underlying, overlying, and encompassing all true being. Unquote. It is the spiritual idea, Science and Health says, that will guide all right desires from a material sense of existence to the spiritual. Unquote. Teaching that the kingdom of God is within you is within reach of man's consciousness here, and the spiritual idea reveals it. In divine science, man possesses this recognition of harmony consciously in proportion to his understanding of God. Can you explain in a few words what the spiritual idea is? Mrs. Eddy answers it in our current edition on page 562 under the marginal heading, Spiritual Idea Revealed. There she indicates that the spiritual idea is manhood, as represented by Jesus, together with the womanhood, as represented by Mary Baker Eddy. It is their combined teachings. Their teachings constitute their identity to the human consciousness. In this reference, on page 562, she states, As Elias presented the idea of the fatherhood of God, which Jesus afterwards manifested, so the Revelator completed this figure with woman, typifying the spiritual idea of God's motherhood. Unquote. The spiritual idea is the Christ. Mrs. Eddy's revelation of the spiritual idea was concerned with two great wings of the male and female union, the wedding of male and female elements. As the understanding of our true being develops and we are resurrected from our present ignorance and materiality, humanity will experience Jesus' prophecy that there would be no more marrying nor given in marriage, but man would be as the angels. Then shall soul rejoice in its own, in which passion has no part. Then white-robed purity will unite in one personal masculine wisdom and feminine love, spiritual understanding, and perpetual peace. Unquote. This is what the spiritual idea is concerned with. Jesus prophesied in St. John that the woman would bring forth a man-child. The man-child was Mrs. Eddy's spiritual interpretation of Jesus. Her chapter Genesis is her conception of Jesus. It is a spiritual Jesus. The man-child is Christian Science, which must wed the bride, divine science, and science itself. The man-child elsewhere is shown as the bridegroom. The man-child is a completely spiritual conception. The man-child may be said to be a symbol of humanity embraced by bride, love. We could say then that Jesus, as woman's man-child, was the masculine representative of the spiritual idea. Now that we have discussed the spiritual idea and the man-child, it would be of interest to have a short discussion concerning whether it is the manhood or the womanhood of God that unfolds to human consciousness the higher mission. A pertinent and direct source for this determination can be found not only in the glossary, but also in her characterization of the ideal man and the ideal woman. It is super important to realize the manhood and womanhood here spoken of and discussed are spiritual symbols, and it is hoped no one will confuse this male and female of God's creating with mortal men and women, with worldly Adam dreamers. Spiritual teaching must always be by symbols, and the distinctions we are about to consider are the distinguishing differences that God, through Mrs. Eddy, saw proper to make, the same as we have in Genesis. Turning to Mrs. Eddy's characterization of the ideal man and the ideal woman, we see that the ideal man corresponds to truth, while the ideal woman corresponds to life and to love. In other words, woman science corresponds to both the underlying and overlying principle, love. Since life is the father, and is what the ideal woman corresponds to, this would explain why Mary, the mother of Jesus, could be both father and mother, why she, as a virgin, could bear her son. She represented the fact in science that each individual is both father and mother, having both the manhood and womanhood qualities, being two individual natures in one. It would also explain how Mrs. Eddy could spiritually unfold both the masculine as the man-angel, bringing the little book, and the feminine, or mother, bringing forth the man-child, or the true spiritual conception of Jesus to the human consciousness, and why she could bring forth the city four square as the union of the masculine and feminine qualities as prophesied in the book of Revelation. Science will ultimately lead us all to see that man, symbolized as truth and woman, symbolized as love, are a compounded spiritual individuality in which, quote, there is no impediment to eternal bliss. While the Bible contains the recipe for all healing, still the scriptures must be translated into the new tongue, or the inspired word, the impersonal womanhood of the writings of Mary Baker Eddy. Through the spiritual translation, which her teachings explain, all qualities are united in one whole generic man. Thus did she fulfill her mission to complete the work of Christ Jesus on earth. The second appearing of Jesus is unquestionably the advancing idea of God as in Christian Science. The city foursquare is Christian Science. It is science, second coming, added to Christian, first coming. We could bring out many more comparisons between the first and second coming, but these references will suffice to show the giant leap forward that came with the advent of Mary Baker Eddy and the science God sent to humanity through her discovery and founding, her revelation and demonstration as she dipped her pen in the well of love and left her legacy to bless mankind for all eternity. In closing this session, I would like to read the article of a writer for the Denver News, published in 1906, which bears eloquent testimony to what one lone woman's pure love for humanity accomplished within her own lifetime. Denver, Colorado News, 1906. The dedication of the new Mother Church of the Christian Scientists in Boston is not a matter of interest to that city alone, but to the nation. Not to the nation alone, but to the world. Not to this time alone, but to history. The growth of this form of religious faith has been one of the marvels of the last quarter century. It is, in some respects, the greatest religious phenomenon of all history. That a woman should found a religious movement of international sway, that its followers should number many thousands during her lifetime, that hundreds of great buildings should be filled at every meeting, Sundays or on weekdays, with devout worshippers, wooed by no eloquence or orator or magnetic ritual. All these things are new, utterly new, in the history of religious expression. Unaccountable? Hardly so. Whatever else it is, this faith is real and has given very real tests. Thousands upon thousands believe that it has cured them of diseases many and diverse. All the passionate love for life with which nature endows the children of men grips hold of their faith and ensures fidelity in pain or death for self or dear ones. But while health-seeking is the door to this gospel for many, it is not the only source of appeal. A faith which teaches that hate is atheism, that discord is poisonous, that gloom is sin, has a mission that can be readily grasped by sick or well. The world is enormously richer for this reincarnation of the old, old gospel of on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Unquote. Let us finish with a part of Mrs. Eddy's 4th of July address. Today we commemorate not only our nation's civil and religious freedom, the liberty of the sons of God, the inalienable rights and radiant reality of Christianity, whereof our Master said, "The works that I do shall he do," and "The kingdom of God cometh not with knowledge obtained from the senses, but the kingdom of God is within you, within the present possibilities of mankind." Think of this inheritance, heaven right here, and men as angels who, burdened for an hour, spring into liberty, and the good they would do, that they do. All error, physical, moral, or religious, will fall before truth demonstrated. Christian Science is the pearl priceless, whereof our Master said, "If a man findeth, he goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth it." Buyeth it. Note the scope of that saying. even that Christianity is not merely a gift, as St. Paul avers, but is bought with a price, a great price. And what man knoweth, as did our Master, its value, and the price that he paid for it?